Can you read that okay? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Right? We're taught that as small children growing up. Okay? But then we grow up, and the world teaches us something completely different, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right? The world's message is this. Never show weakness. Right?
Yeah.
But we're weak. And we're strong in some areas and weak in others. So what do? If we're never supposed to show weakness, we fake it. Right? I mean, or am I alone here? Am I the only one who's faked it, trying to convince everybody? Okay, so there's at least three of us in the room that have spent a lot of time trying to convince everybody else of some hidden strength that we have that we don't really possess, right? How did it turn out for you?
Not good.
I can tell you this, for me, it's exhausting. I hated living like that. And so what I want to talk about today is, it's okay to be weak. Okay? That is okay. Because as disciples of Jesus, we follow someone, right? We follow someone who chose to be weak, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I skipped something. I'm sorry. When you think about strength in the Bible, who do you think about? Samson, that's right. Samson. There he is. You can't see it because, I mean, if it were darker here, maybe you can see the picture, but it's a picture with Samson when he's pushing the pillars in the temple and killing all the Philistines, right? We remember him for his strength.
Yeah.
But honestly, we remember him for his weakness too. What was his weakness?
His hair.
It was the ladies, wasn't it? They always got him in trouble. Okay? And so he was very strong, but he was also very weak. Okay? But he still gets remembered for his strength. Okay. All right, now we can talk about Jesus. All right, Jesus. Now, Jesus had an advantage over us. He got to choose weakness. All right, we don't get to do that. Okay, we're given strengths and weaknesses. Jesus, how did he come to the earth? He leaves strength in heaven and comes to the earth to be a baby, right? The picture's up there, right? There you go. No, they're both up there now. So that, if you can't see it, is a major scene. Okay? He chooses to come as a baby. Babies are weak. They can't do anything for themselves. Right? How does he die? He dies in weakness. Let me ask you a question. How do you kill God? You don't, unless he allows you to. Right? Jesus allowed himself to take on weakness to die on the cross. But in that weakness, okay, it's only through his weakness on the cross that we get to see the power of the resurrection. And so we see weakness and strength together in Jesus. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a couple of scriptures about strength and weakness. I'll tell you a story or two and give you a couple of challenges and sit down. And then we'll go get cookies together, okay? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to be reading from verses 1 through verses 10. All right, I'll give you just a moment to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay. Paul is writing this, and he says, I must go on boasting. Although there's nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Okay, so he's saying, I know a guy, right? And this guy was taken to the third heaven. I don't really know what that means. So at least there are three heavens, I guess. But he says, I know this guy, and this happened. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, and I do not know. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Okay, so Paul is, I'll read the rest in a minute, but Paul is saying, I know this guy. And this guy got taken up into the third heaven, and he saw these things that were so amazing that he can't even talk about them. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, that's what I have up there so far, right? Okay. But we all know that that guy was him, right? You guys are like, I have this friend that, but we're really talking about us? That's what he's doing here, right? And so he says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. So he's saying, I saw all that, and it was so awesome. But God doesn't want me to be conceited, because he can walk around going, hey, look at me, everyone. I'm amazing enough that God took me up into the third heaven and let me see all this stuff that nobody else got to see. But God didn't want him to be conceited, right? Okay. Oh, it's down here. Okay. So what does God do? Okay. God gives him a thorn in the flesh, right? We don't know what that thorn was exactly, but it was something bad, right? I'll continue. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Okay, so whatever this thorn in the flesh was, it must have been bad, because he begged God to take it away from him. God, please take this away from me. I don't want to live like this. You ever been there?
Yep.
Okay, most of us have, with something going on in our lives. Well, Paul was there. And he said, please take this away from me, Lord. And God repeatedly said, no. So then what's the question? Why, God, must I suffer like this, right? Why must I have this flesh, this thorn in the flesh? Why must I have this weakness? Okay? Well, God answers him. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. That was his answer to the pleading of taking this stuff away. My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Okay. What does that mean? To really understand that, we may have to redefine the word grace a little bit. Okay? Because that's what God's answer is. My grace is good enough. Okay? And normally, how do we define grace? Unmerited favor, right? And so we could take this to mean, look, the fact that you're forgiven needs to be enough. But that's not really what God is saying. Okay? So let's look at a new definition. Maybe a little bit different paradigm. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. God's grace is more, okay, than the way we usually define it. In the context here, it is saying that it is how God works in our lives within our weaknesses. Whatever God's work that we do the best we can, and then God makes up the difference. That difference is his grace. Amen. And so he's saying to Paul, I know you're weak. I know you have this thorn in the flesh, but my grace is going to make up the difference for you. Okay? And so that's what God is saying to Paul. And so how does Paul respond to that? Okay? He says then, well, okay, then therefore I delight in weakness. Okay? I'll bring it on. I'll be weak if I can accomplish God's will through my weakness because of his strength and his grace, then I'll be weak and I'll delight in his weakness. Because that's when his power or his grace rests on us. And so he was able to say, I'll delight in my weakness. I don't know what your weakness is. I know what many of mine are. And I got to say, it's hard to delight in that. Because we'd just rather be the strong one, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
That's how I'm wired anyway. I think most of us are probably wired that way. I'd just rather be the one that everybody's going, man, that's a strong brother there. Okay? Do I want people to look at Tom and say, you know, Tom, he's just weak? But, and the answer is no, I don't want you to look at me and say that. Okay? But if I'm like Paul, I'm going to say, you know what? Bring on the weakness. I'll delight in that because that way, in my weakness, God can work more. Okay? You guys still with me?
Yeah.
Great.
Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Let's look now over to Romans. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 26 and 27, it says this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Okay. Have you ever been so weak, okay, where you didn't even know what to pray?
Yeah.
I've been there
yeah.
recently, okay? And probably most of us have been there where we're just sitting there trying to pray, going, right? Not even knowing how to articulate the right words. I don't know how many times I've said to God in prayer, I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Right.
Whether it's out of weakness or frustration or anxiety or, you know, I've been there. Okay? You probably have been too. But the good news for us is when we're in that weak place, the Spirit intercedes for us. That's what this is saying. And I don't know, I try to imagine what this is like, because it says the Spirit intercedes with wordless groans. So the Spirit groans for us. Okay? And I don't know what that means exactly or what that's like, but it's like it goes to God and He says something not intelligible necessarily, but God understands what it means. And so when we're sitting there or on our knees or wherever we are and we're making these sounds, God gets it.
Amen.
In our weakness, God really understands where we're coming from.
Amen.
Okay. That's my introduction. Okay. All right. So our question then is, so then how can we be strong in our weaknesses? Okay? Because we have them. And we don't want to live that life where we're faking it, right? I know I don't.
Yeah.
Okay? So how do we do that? So here's my first point. Embrace your weaknesses.
Amen.
Okay? Admit it. You're weak. Well, I don't know if you heard what she said, what Angie just said. She said, everybody knows it. Well, okay, maybe everybody doesn't know it, okay? But we still need to be honest about it, at least with ourselves. Well, we need to start with ourselves anyway, about our weakness, okay? Here's something for you to think about. If you're going to be strong in something, be strong in humility, okay? But then it's okay for everybody to know your weaknesses. If you're strong in humility, you're going to be real. You're going to be honest about it. And humility, this is something I've learned in life, especially being, you know, a family man. Humility's never wrong. Okay? Never, it's never wrong to be humble with my wife and kids. It's when on the opposite of that that we have more conflict. Right? Humility's never wrong. And so that we need to keep it real. We need to embrace our weakness. Okay? And there's a couple different things that we can talk about with this. One of them is just be honest with yourself and other people about your life and the weakness. But also, I think sometimes we need to kind of step out there a little bit in spite of our weakness. Sometimes we need to do something and we're not good at it, okay? But we need to do it because there's a need.
That's true.
Here's an example, okay? When somebody loses a loved one, And you go to that funeral home. I'm weak. I'm awkward. I never know what to say. But I need to go. Because there's a need. Right? And maybe you know what to do and you know what to say. I don't. Okay? If you do, let me know. Okay? I'd love to know what to say in those moments. How to bring comfort in a situation like that. Because I'm not good at it. But I need to do that. That person needs me there. And sometimes I've found that just being there is what's needed.
Right.
You know, in the church, sometimes we have needs that go unmet because there's no one who's meeting them.
Right.
Okay? And so you might think, well, there's a need, but that's not my strength. Sometimes you need to step up and meet that need anyway. I'll tell you a story. You ready? It's one of my great sports moments. Okay? And I haven't had many. All right? Every year, I play basketball in the senior versus faculty basketball game. And I hold my own with 17 and 18-year-olds for, you know, guys, you know, in his mid-50s. That's not terrible. But I was never a great basketball player. And one year, we were getting killed by the seniors. And we win about as often as we lose. Because thankfully, we do have some guys who can play. But they hadn't gotten there yet. They weren't employed there yet. And we were getting clobbered. And at halftime, with 6 seconds left on the clock, they had scored yet another basket. And I think we got 6 seconds. We got time for one shot. Okay. And I'm bringing the ball up the court, and I look at the people on the court, and I think, yeah, unless I'm standing under the basket, I usually don't make it, okay? I think, this is bad. I'm the best guy on the court for our team. I'm going to have to take this shot. And so as slow as I run, 6 seconds, I thought, that ought to get me to half court. So I get to half court, and I heave it up there. It hits the backboard. It goes right in, and then the buzzer goes off, and the place goes crazy, even though we were down by 20. You know? But, you know, I could have said, there's no way I'm making this shot, and not shot.
True.
And I wouldn't have had the greatest sports moment of my life. Sometimes in spite of our weakness, we can step up and do something great because God is awesome.
Right.
And so when we hear about some need, even if you're not good at it, it's okay. Step up, meet the need. Okay. Here's my second point. Point number two, really believe the promises of God. Really believe it. Okay? Because faith, you know, is never wrong. So if you're going to be strong in something, be strong in humility. But also, if you're going to be strong in something, be strong in faith. Why? Because the one that we serve is so strong. Right? Okay. We're going to continue reading in Romans chapter 8. All right? You with me?
Yeah.
We stopped at 27. We'll pick up at 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I'm going to stop there. We're going to read the rest of it in a few minutes. I want to ask you a question. Do you really believe the scripture? Because sometimes it's hard to believe the scripture. That God works everything out for our good if we love him. That's challenging, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's where real faith is. Believing the things that are hard to believe. I'm going to tell you another story. Okay, this one's not as happy as the other one. Back in August, I served at our teen camp. So did Caleb. Aaron was a camper. And Wendy was out of town. Kyrie was staying at our house. Okay? And I've been, you know, Caleb and I, as counselors, we worked hard all week giving ourselves to God. Aaron, as a camper, camped hard all week giving himself to God. Right? So we're exhausted. And we get just to the edge of town, and I stop at Dunkin' Donuts. And while I'm in Dunkin' Donuts, I get a call from Kyrie. Tell him there's a water line in your bathroom. It's broken. I can't shut it off. I'm 2 hours from home. Okay? And, you know, that was challenging. And we get home. And, you know, it was great. The church really rallied. You know, Chuck came over. Gary Heredia came over. Daryl and Allison Jones came over and helped us out. But I walk in the front door. Now, we did eventually get the water shut off, right? I walk in the front door, and there's a big chunk of my ceiling on my floor. It was hard. It's hard in that moment to say, this is all going to work out for our good. When your ceiling's on the floor, it's challenging. Okay? And we're all walking around in weakness. I mean, there's only one of us out of the whole bunch that had any idea what they were doing. That's Gary Heredia. I mean, he was checking the wiring out for us and stuff. The rest of us is just, you know, all right, what are we supposed to do now? Right? And I remember the next day, because it really was hard. It was really challenging. And the next day, as a family, we looked at the scripture. And I said, guys, you know what? Sometimes things happen. And it's really hard to look at it and go, you know what? God's going to work this out for our good.
Yeah.
Okay? But it's the Bible. We have to believe it. Right. And I really thought I was going to get a lot of pushback. A lot, you know, oh, Dad, I don't know. But they bought into it. It was awesome. They said, okay, we're going to believe it. They chose to believe. Right? And it was awesome. What happened since? You know, God really has taken care of that whole situation. Now, we kind of lived with big holes in our house for about 6 weeks. And it was challenging. But in the end, I mean, insurance covered almost everything. We didn't pay that much out of pocket. We got everything back. Some of it's the same as it was. Some of it's better than it was. Okay? And Wendy got to live her HGTV dream. She got to, you know, pick out a new floor for the bathroom and get a new vanity and paint the wall. It was awesome.
She was like,
and
did
so,
you come over? Did you see
would I want to go through that again? No.
No.
But did God work it all out?
Yeah.
And so believing in this promise is important. That's real faith. Okay? And so when those difficult things happen in your life, are you going to choose to believe this scripture?
Right.
That God's going to work it out. Okay? Because he's the strong one. Remember? We're the weak ones.
Right.
Now I'm going to continue reading from here. And for all of it, just say, hey, do you really believe that? Okay? Let's continue. All right. Verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Do you believe that? That God's on your side? Let me continue. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is it who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Okay? Do we really believe this stuff? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's a good question. You know, the Bible really is just this really big love story about God's love for us. But some of us really have a hard time believing that in our weakness, God loves us. But he tells us over and over and over that he does. Do you really believe it? That's the question for you. Okay, so let's read on. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Okay. Well, let's continue. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor future, or any powers, neither height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. No one on the day of judgment is going to be able to say, you know what? I'm just that guy God didn't love.
Mm-hmm.
No one can say that. Okay? Because God is saying nothing can ever separate us from that. Okay? But here's what I want us to focus on. Because remember where we started, right? We started with weakness. Right? Back in verse 26. We're so weak we don't even know what to say. But in verse 37? What does he make us? More than conquerors. We're not just conquerors, guys.
Wow.
We're conquerors plus. Right?
Yeah.
He makes us more than that. We become super strong, right? Do you really believe it? Okay. So here's the question then. Can we live in this paradox? Can we be both weak and strong? And the answer is, yeah, of course we can. But it's not because of us or who we are. Okay? It's because of God and who He is. Yes, we can be both weak and strong when our walk with God is characterized by humility, or embracing our weakness, and faith, really believing His promises. Asking ourselves all the time, wait a minute, the Bible says this, but this is hard. Do I really believe this is true? Okay? So I'm going to close with this. We started with Jesus Loves Me, and we're going to finish there, right? With the Jesus Loves Me remix. Okay? All right? This is for the adults, right? The Jesus Loves Me remix. Jesus loves me. This I know. And then you get to fill in the blank. Okay? Little ones, big ones, old ones, young ones, campus ones, single ones, married ones, whatever you are, okay? You can fill that in. Gray beards belong to Him, right? To Him belong. We are weak, but we are strong. As He is strong, and His grace is sufficient for us. Thank you.